We're going to talk about a real light subject tonight, so mental health. You heard some mental health challenges that Andy was going through, so let's get cracking. What is mental health? So mental health, did I put the text up there? There it is. The state of one's mental, emotional, and spiritual well-being. I think the next slide says the opposite of that. Mental health is mental illness. So it's pretty basic, you know. If your mind is pretty healthy, and I want you to think of it this way, you are mentally well if you are relationally well. You are mentally ill if you are relationally dysfunctional. Everything in the known universe is relational. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbors yourself. That's relational. How do I know if I might be dealing with a mental illness? Because I'm not able to love the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, or my neighbors myself. Something mentally, emotionally keeps interrupting that on a regular basis. Okay? All right, so the statistics on mental illness, no matter where you go, they're all about the same. I'm just going to give you some stats on mental illness. 1 in 5 adults experiences a mental illness every year. That's 20%. So there's how many people in this room? 50? Right? So 20% of 50. Any math majors in here? At least 10 people? Yeah. Okay, 1 in 20 adults experience a serious mental illness every year. 1 in 6 youth ages 6 to 17 experiences a mental health disorder every year. 1 in 6. Okay? And then 50% of all lifetime mental illnesses begin by age 14. 50%. Okay? All right? By the way, you know what the second leading cause of death in America is for those between the ages of 10 and 34? Yeah. Do you know what the fastest climbing percentage death cause is with people your age? Yeah, suicide. The word suicide should be very familiar to you. It shouldn't be like, no. So you guys have been around me. I talk about it openly. There was a time where I never shared that, and I remember there was a pastor who called me, and I had preached at his church, and he said, yeah, this guy, he listened to your, you know, and I talked to him, and then that week he took his life. And I thought to myself, I will never be in front of people on a regular basis and not tell my story. Not that it might save them, but it's like one of the reasons why people take their lives is because they feel like there's no more hope and they're all alone, and that's the only option. And people need to hear that, like, no, other people have been there too. You're never alone, right? That's why one of my favorite songs is Another in the Fire. He's standing next to me. We'll never be alone. You're never, ever alone, right? And we need to get there, because I think we could prevent more people taking their lives if we were a more transparent, real community. If we were willing to just be real, right? And remember we talked about being all jacked up also, and not overreact. You know, someone calls or texts you and says, I just don't feel like living anymore. Like, you know what I mean? Like all those types of things. Okay, so let's go to the next one. So I submit it to you, no matter what topic you talk about, run it through this grid. So we're talking about mental health. Creation, fall, redemption, restoration. Creation. There's no such thing as mental illness at creation. Genesis 1 and 2. Because the fall hadn't happened, right? Mental illness is one of the many impacts of the fall. The fall is the ultimate cause of mental illness, because the fall distorts everything. It jacks up everything. Our minds, our emotions, our bodies, our sexuality, our identities, the way we perceive and process, right? Redemption comes to redeem. That means to buy it back and to get it back on the right track. And the good news is in the age to come, there will be no testimonies like present tense testimonies like Andy's and mine. Everything gets fixed. Everything goes back to Genesis 1 and 2. That's the Christian's hope, that there's going to come a day where there's no death, there's no tears, there's no sorrow, there's no loss, there's no limitations, there's no mental illness. This is the grid. So Mental illness was not here. It got here because of the fall, and it gets fixed through redemption, and it'll get permanently fixed through what we call restoration or the age to come. So this may be a concept like, whoa. So when we talk about we long for or long for the age to come, this is why, because there are a lot of things that are going away in the age to come, right? Next slide. All right. This is very important because sometimes what happens when we talk about mental health and mental illness, people want to make mental illness a sin. And we said this in our Q&A early in the afternoon. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. This is a verse that you probably should have memorized if you're going to be a Christian, because people are going to try to tell you what sin is, and like half the time they're just jacked up. They have no clue. They're making things sin. Remember I said that it's a sin if you go into a 7-Eleven to get Reese's and it's old and stale? It's not a sin, right? Remember I said it's a sin if you go to Krispy Kreme and the light's on and they don't have hot donuts? That's a sin? It's not a sin, because it's not a violation of God's law. So to be in a state where you are depressed, feeling lonely, where you're exaggerated or diminished, right? You're not differentiated, and you're feeling all these things is not necessarily sinful. It's just you being in a state. To be in a state where you feel lonely, that's not a sin. Sin is what is sin? Sin is lawlessness. You have to have a law that you are breaking to be in sin. This should liberate you. Really, it should, right? And you should never let any man, woman, boy, girl, pastor, priest, I don't care what label you give them, ever try to put you under something that ain't sin. And we're really good at religious people at making things sinful that have nothing to do with sin, right? They may be preferences, it may be things we comport with or agree to, but it's not sin. It's really, really important, because sometimes when you're going through a mental illness season or a crisis, or even you're struggling with something, you begin to think, I'm wrong, I'm sinning, because where's my joy or whatever it may be. And just like you can have a sick heart, sick lungs, sick bones, you know, I've got arthritis, I got tendonitis in my knees. Having tendonitis in my knees is not sinful. It's not a violation of God's law. It may feel like that, but it's not. Sin is a transgression of God's law. So as Christians, we need to view this issue of mental health and mental illness really theologically correct. And I'm going to say something else. In my opinion, we cannot afford to screw this one up. We can mess up a lot of stuff. I know, like, you know, if I had tons of other pastors here, if this is a pastor's conference, they'd be like, you're never coming back. But this is one area that, like, I think we kind of can't mess this up, because this has to do with people's souls and their trajectory and their well-being, okay? So we got to really get this one right, and we need to really be able to discern when someone's going through something, is this really a sin, or is this a state of being that someone's in, right? And the hyper-radical charismatic movement will say that if you're sick, you're in sin because you don't have faith, right? So, but the problem is they've got to get to the point to where they could show in the Bible that to be sick is a transgression of God's law. They can't do that. You guys following me? Okay, next slide. Okay, so let's talk about this. This is really important, okay? So I'm going to give you, we talked a little bit about this, but I'm going to give you four places where mental illness comes from. The first is nature. So you guys remember this story, John chapter 9, as he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, listen to this question. Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Isn't that amazing? Let me say that again. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? What did we just get through talking about 1 John 3:4? Right? They thought the reason why this kid was born blind was because of what? sins of the parents. Jesus said, neither this man nor his parents sinned. Think about that. What does this teach you? It teaches you that you can be born with something. And I know a lot of conservative Bible-believing Christians that don't want to go down the slippery slope are really nervous when I say this stuff. But you got to deal with Jesus. These are Jesus' words. Jesus said, it's not a sin issue. He was born this way. Now, if you can be born blind, could you be born with one leg? Could you be born with one eye? Could you be born with two noses? Can you be born with... You could be born with a lot of what we would call deformities. Could you be born with a bad heart? Yes. What about lung? Yes. What about bone? Yes. What about a brain that doesn't function right? Yeah. It's possible this side of the fall to be born. Your parents didn't do anything. You didn't do anything. It's possible to be born in a condition where you have a mental health disorder. Now, a lot of times we push back on this because we see the other exaggerated side where if anybody says anything about anything, they're rushing to get pills and all these types of things. But this is really clear that this is one of the causes. Let me give you another cause. Another one is life, okay? Life, circumstances in particular. So one is nature. I'm suggesting that one of the origins or causes of mental health or mental illnesses is you're born that way. Some people are born that way. Maybe not as many people as the world says are born that way. But another cause for mental illness is life circumstances. Listen to this text, 2 Corinthians 1:8. Listen for the mental state of the Apostle Paul. Listen to the mental state of Paul. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure. Sounds like you, Andy. Watch this. So that we despaired of life itself. Y'all don't be reading the Bible. You don't read the same Bible I read. Like, I want to like shout right now. So you mean to tell me, let's have a conversation with Paul. So you mean to tell me there was a time in your life where you, first of all, you don't want the church to be uninformed. Where there was a time in your life where you were experiencing troubles in Asia and you were under great pressure far beyond your ability to endure. Yeah. So all your, like, prayers and, like, being an apostle and seeing Jesus and raising the dead and, you know what I'm saying, like, all these, getting bit by snakes and, nope, that didn't help. Went all past that. Okay, so, but what were you thinking while you were in this? We were under this pressure far beyond our ability to endure it so that we, and it wasn't just Paul, it was others, we despaired of life itself. So if you walked into the office of a psychologist or a psychiatrist and you sat down and they said, oh, you know, Abubakar, how are you doing today? And you said, I'm despairing of life. Your psychologist or your psychiatrist would say, that's a suicidal ideation of some sorts. That's not a good thing to say. I mean, it may be true. I'm not saying it's a bad, you understand what I'm saying? That's serious. Paul said, I despaired of life itself. Then he goes on to say, indeed, we felt, what? Listen, we felt we had received the sentence of death. You're like, we're going to die. And there's no hope. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Paul was in a place one time in his life with his friends, and they were like, we're done. We're all going to just die. Matter of fact, God's going to kill us through this whole thing. That's how they were talking. So the second cause is life circumstances. Whether it's sickness, Andy was talking about this, it could be something going on in your home, it could be something that happened in your family, it could be COVID-19, it could be loss of a job in your family, it could be you were physically, emotionally, spiritually, sexually assaulted. I don't know what it is, but you can get to a point in your life where you are now in a mental illness crisis because of a providence. Third place where they come from is sin. Yes, sin. Matthew chapter 27. Again, listen as I read this for what happens mentally in Judas's mind. Listen to what happens. Early in the morning, all the chief priests and the elders of the people made their plans how to have Jesus executed. So they bound him and led him away and handed him over to Pilate, the governor. When Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse and returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders. "I have sinned," he said, "for I have betrayed innocent blood." "What is that to us?" they replied. "That's your responsibility." So Judas threw the money in the temple and left, and then he went away and hanged himself. Y'all ain't reading the Bible. This is a suicide in the Bible. It's not the only one. If you read this text and you go, well, what made Judas kill himself? Betraying Jesus. Yeah. He saw Jesus was condemned, then he gets gripped with remorse. Remorse affects you mentally, it affects you spiritually, and it affects you emotionally, and it affects you physically. Physically. When you feel things, you feel them in your body. Your body holds your emotions. Your body holds your thoughts. That's why when a thought comes, like, anybody scared of heights? Yeah. That's why when, like, you go up, you notice this stuff happens with your body. You're scared of spiders. When you see a spider, something happens in your body. When Jesus saw that Judas was condemned, something happened in his body. He started getting remorse and down and grieved and overwhelmed. So he goes and he tries to start to fix it. And here's the, can we undo this? And they're like, nah, dude, this is done. This is your responsibility. You deal with it. And he sees no hope and he sees no out. So he goes and kills himself. I would suggest that in five verses, we get a snapshot of kind of almost like an instant kind of a combination or recipe for mental illness. What's the lesson? Don't betray Jesus. It's not a good thing. What's the lesson? Don't go against your conscience. What's the lesson? When you go against your conscience and you break God's law and you're all curled up in bed with your little Instagram and you're scrolling and you're all depressed and you're like, life's horrible, life's horrible. Remember, sometimes it's because you were born that way. Sometimes it's life circumstances. But sometimes it was your choice. But the good news is God is all off in all that mess. And the Bible's really clear that, you know, Judas decided that there was no more grace for him, no more mercy, no more patience, no more love. And that was a bad choice because there was grace and forgiveness and love available for him. He chose not to access it. He chose to take matters into his own hands. That's a third cause. Okay, fourth cause. Satan. So Mark chapter 5 is a really great chapter on this. It's the story of the man who was possessed. And when Jesus heals him, it says that they came and they saw the man sitting clothed and in his right mind. Now, can I plead with you? I have a real dear friend. His son has autism, and he's taught me so much about disabilities and disabilities ministries. He's the reason why I co-founded the Banquet Network, which is a nonprofit network that exists to inspire, to equip, and to resource churches to include people with disabilities. And assimilate people with disabilities and serve people with disabilities. Before that, I was like most people. When I saw somebody with a disability, I just like walked the other way. I was much like the priest in Levi. He's completely changed my life. But I remember one time I was talking to someone who knew him, and his son went through a phase for 5 years where he beat his dad, beat his mom. When I say beat, not just like, I mean, he would come in and his whole thing would be scraped like this, scrapes on there, bruises, because his son was like 6'2", 210. you know? So anyway, I'm talking to this guy, and this guy goes, yeah, you know, I really believe that brother, man, he needs to get that demon out of his son. I was like, how do you know it's a demon? He's like, well, it has to be a demon. No, it doesn't have to be a demon. Well, what could explain that, like a broken brain? I don't know. So in Mark 5, it was a demon, but it's not always a demon. So don't take the cheap Christian way out. By the way, resolve to me that you young people will not grow up to be cheap Christians. Cheap theologically, cheap musically, cheap when you tip. Christians are notoriously cheap tippers. Do you know that? If you talk to people in the restaurant industry and you say, when you see somebody praying, do you think you're going to get a big tip? They're like, nah. That's don't even get me started. Just resolve, you're never going to be cheap. Don't take the cheap, easy way out, right? But having said all of that, Sister Andi told us she heard a voice, and God would have never told her that, right? So Satan be telling you some crazy stuff, right? He is Satan. He's not going to come to you and say, you know, you should love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength and love your neighbors yourself. You should trust God. You should believe him. He's not going to tell you that. He's going to tell you to do crazy, sinful, out-of-the-box stuff. And he wants to encourage you towards a mental illness. So those are four sources for mental illness. Next slide. All right. Mental illness, the grace of God. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. When you have a mental illness, you feel very weak. By the way, I told you guys that, when I was younger, when I was a young man and we walked to school in 5 feet of snow. When I was younger, I told you, hey, I struggled with depression and suicidal ideation. Like, that didn't go away. It's not gone. I'm not healed. Like, I still struggle. I still tend to get depressed. But now I realize there's another one in the fire. Standing next to me. He'll never leave me or forsake me. So we get through it. I hold Jesus' hand. Sometimes we run. Sometimes we walk. Most times we crawl. But he's with me in the valley of the shadow of death. He's always there. But when you have a mental illness, you feel very weak and very vulnerable. And so what you're praying is, get me out of this. I want out of this weak. I don't want to be weak. And look what he says. He says, I pray for you. He says, but my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses. Now, Paul's kind of crazy. Don't you think so? See, that's why some people, you all want to mess with Paul. Paul's nuts. I don't mess with Paul. I like Peter better. Peter's all jacked up and says stuff and does stuff and gets in trouble and he's my guy. You know what I mean? These holy rollers who say stuff like, I delight in weakness. I'm like, you on a spiritual plane. You know what I'm saying? Like way up there. You can have that. You know what I mean? And insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. This is no pragmatic rah-rah saying. When I am weak, then I'm strong. How are you strong when you're weak, Paul? Because of God's grace. It's not about me and learning these techniques. No, it's because when I'm weak, God's grace is most present when I'm weak. Do you guys understand that? You know, when it's hot, that's when you need AC the most, right? I told the group at 5:30, my wife texted me. She's like, you know, our AC broke today. I'm like, oh, no. And I feel horrible because I'm in, like, my room's like 67 at the hotel. I'm like, should I drive home to be miserable with you? So we have some friends coming over doing portable air conditioners, all that kind of stuff. But, like, you know, when you're the weakest, that's when God's, like, the strongest for you. You know that, right? You may not feel that way. So if you're struggling with a mental health issue, a challenge, or mental illness, you need to know that in your moment of weakness, that's when God's strongest. And that becomes a faith issue. And you know what faith is? Faith is when you believe stuff that you can't see. Pastor, how do I strengthen my faith? That's an oxymoron. What do you want to be? You want to be so strong in faith that you don't have to trust God? What do you say? Where are you going with this? I don't anymore, because I know that's dumb. I want to be weak. I want to be like, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. I always want to be, Lord, help me. I always want to be leaning on the everlasting arms. I want to be dependent upon God, because the other life doesn't exist anyway, right? So weakness, strong. Mental illness, challenges, you're going to feel really, really weak. But in those times, you're strong. All right, next slide. Then Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. Y'all would be grumpy if that happened. Don't even front. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, what did they say? That's crazy, huh? I told y'all I don't be reading the Bible. This ain't even like a crazy Mike Crawford version of the Bible. It's right there. It's like he's out of his mind. His parents are like, our kid's crazy. What do we do? They're like drinking their, you know, Middle Eastern tea. I don't know, Mary. Have you called a doctor? Yeah, he is strange. I mean, he was in the temple all day. Who does that? That's like he never makes mistakes. He's like perfect. I don't know. I don't know what they were doing. They're like, you lost your mind. There's another verse, I think. Yeah. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. If you know mental illness, you know it'll wear you out. You ever struggle with depression? You feel like an elephant sitting on you. That's what people would get, real clinical depression. Not like, my baseball team lost a game. Not that stuff. But like the real, like, biological and like synapse and brain and emotional stuff. When you're depressed, you literally feel like an elephant went deep, 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 boom. And you're just like, I'm smothered, and you can't see and think and feel and smell, and you don't want to eat, and you don't want to move, and you can't understand why, because your brain's going do, and your body's going, and you can't. And Jesus says, come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden. Isn't this amazing? Like, if you have a mental illness, you should be coming to Jesus, not running from him. Like, I'm weary. Yes, I'm burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. You know what I love about this? He says, I'm gentle and humble in heart. When you have a mental illness and you're struggling with something, that's what you need. You need somebody who's gentle and humble in heart. What a beautiful Savior we have. I love how he says, and you'll find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But you don't find that yoke in just attending things. You don't find that yoke in just knowing things. You don't find that yoke in checking a box, I'm a Christian. You do not find that yoke in behaviorism. You find this rest when you're actually in a real relationship with Jesus. A real one. Not, I'm here at the conference. So is the speaker. There might be a mouse chilling up in here too. Like, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like spiders, I don't know. What are we saying? A real relationship with Jesus, you have access to rest. Real rest. And when you're dealing with mental illness and challenges with depression and anxiety, you need to rest. Sometimes you get anxious and you can't sleep, huh? You're so tired, but you can't fall asleep. You need Jesus, not the Jesus in the lyrics. On the screen, you need Jesus, real Jesus, to show up. We got to get a little bit more flamboyant and crazy about our prayer requests. I be praying, Jesus, show up right now. What you praying? No, I'm praying that. Show up. Like, I need you to show up and show out and do your thing. Do what only you can do. You can only do rest. All right, next slide. All right, what should you do if you think you may have a mental health challenge? What should you do? Yeah? Yeah? What else? Yeah, be honest. Trust God. Yeah. You got to get to Jesus. You got to get to Jesus. And then when you get to him, don't let him go. Don't let any mental illness, anxiety, thoughts, depression, peer pressures, sins, secret sins, anything. Don't let anything. You hold on to Jesus until you can't, till you like pass out. That's what you do. What you shouldn't do is ignore it. Dr. Rogerson says that Christians love to do spiritual bypass. Go around things. Don't do that with mental stuff. Don't go straight at it. So Andy was talking about reading the Psalms. I love the Psalms. You know why? Because dudes are like jacked up in the Psalms. They're like all jacked up. They're like fighting with God and where are you, God? Like, I love that. Psalm 73, I love that psalm. Because he's just like, nah, I think I'm going to peace out on God. And he tells you why. He's like, I'm looking around. I'm seeing like Drake and all this stuff and LeBron James. And none of these fools go to church. None of them believe in Jesus. They look great. They're Instagram. They're doing all this stuff. They got all this money. They're happy. They don't seem to get COVID. They don't lose their jobs. Yeah, all this stuff. They're balling out. And here I am, a Christian, struggling, hot, trying to get some food, trying to make my way, anxious, can't sleep, and these fools are sleeping in like $10 million bedrooms. I think I'm going on their team. That's like a psalm. It's crazy, right? Why are you cast down, oh my soul? That's a psalm. It's crazy. So, don't do a spiritual bypass. Don't do excusing. Don't exaggerate. Don't diminish. Differentiate and go straight for it. Next slide. Is our next one? Oh, look at that.